So said, okay, the Spanish, it was a Spanish grant that they had. Okay, you drive this cattle down here, you'll have this much land, and you can live here. And that was their main purpose. So they came here. And that was the first, and they came along the Mississippi first, around Donaldsonville. This is the Mississippi, the Mississippi comes, they went up here. This area, see, the Mississippi kind of goes like this. It's kind of weird. And then it goes up here. They were up here, it's called Acadian Coast. And other people too, they weren't the only immigrants, by the way. I mean, Louisiana had German, it's called the German coast around here. A lot of Italians, just different people from all over the world. Then they started to move west. And that's when they got to this area. And they were one of the first peoples there. There were also French people there. There were trapped, like we were talking about New Orleans as being the port. From this whole thing of Canada down the Mississippi, we were talking about, you didn't think they went down the Mississippi. They didn't. But the trappers, the Canadian trappers went down the Mississippi. And it's a whole lot easier to come down the Mississippi and go back up. So once they got there, they stayed there. So a lot of these families ended up over there. And so this is 1762, and then they start, a lot of people start coming back, a lot of Acadians start coming back from this area, France. They have a lot of people coming back, 10 years back over there. They lived in France and they came back from all these islands. They started coming in and going to this area. Some stay in New Orleans, etc. And all of a sudden, this area is like no man's land. And it becomes that way in the 1700s, in the 1800s, 1803, Napoleon sells Louisiana, which would be great to have Colorado as part of Louisiana, but you know, they broke that up too. But that's what Louisiana went all the way up to the Canadian border. It did. And that's all we got was the boot left. And that was it. That was it. We're from this area, okay, from this era. So how are we doing with time, by the way? All right? We got what, half an hour left? Any questions? This is a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm curious to know there's another group of French immigrants after the Rebellion in Dominique, the planters came in.
Yes, sir. 1857.
That's later. I'm sorry. Beg your pardon. 50 years ahead of myself.
Okay. There was a revolution down there. This is the French Revolution. The rebel in Dominique was a guy who led that. The guy by the name of Toussaint, I believe.
Toussaint.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, so I'm trying to jog this thing.
Tour, I think.
That's part of the black history that we'll get into. But I'm glad you brought it up because that's what I want to make that point, that this wasn't just, they had a big flag, only Acadians passed through this door. You know, there wasn't that sort of thing. It was like a mixture of all these people, free men of color, Creoles, both planters and their servants, etc., French people, Jean Lafitte, let's not forget our buddy who went up there. That was a battle 1812, saved Jackson's, anyway. That's right. There's so many different people that comprise this area. But this is sort of the scene, let's say, at this time, in 1803. And that's what I just want to make, sort of give you a little background and think. And some more questions or input?
Are there other French cultures there that didn't come out of the Acadian culture?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about.
That are separate. I mean, that live in a separate
There's still a separateness. Okay. Now, when I talked about the Creoles, mm-hmm. Creole, to me, it means tomato. You ever eat a Creole tomato? Because it's homegrown. Creole tomato to me means homegrown. In this, that's where you have the aristocrats, the big families, the plantations along the Mississippi that you read about in all the Gothic novels and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was the other culture. That was the French culture. Now, I think I have to look up that revolution in Haiti. I don't know the exact date. I thought it was after this, but it might
it was
be before.
Early 1800s.
Okay, all right. So at that time, when that happened, I mean, a lot of people came, and a lot of refugees. Now in France, that revolution was in 1857, I believe. I'll have to look in. Now you find that's when, you know, the head started flying, Marie Antoinette. A lot of them, these people came to Louisiana with a lot of money, or maybe not with a lot of money, but were used to having a lot of money. So they developed these social structures. Now, in the Acadian social structure, looking at socially, again, inside view, It's that same similar pattern that we found in Acadie, as being very democratic, very, very family-oriented, and the fact that everybody takes a part in it and everybody knows what everybody's doing, you know, very nosy people. That's sort of the structure. There is no, like, upper class, low class, that kind of thing that's that we're familiar with today, because everybody's on the same level. If somebody, and you have these great expressions, like a coup à main, which means a helping hand. When you still have that today, when somebody, when you're, it's sort of like, if you can think of the Amish, because I'm sure that's closer here, when you know, when they have barn raisings, everybody get together and they do it. Well, it's that same kind of thing. When you have problems there, you have, not only you have families, but there's somebody in your family that knows somebody that can help you do something. So it's that kind of thing that you can count on. And it's like, it's not a big imposition. You really want to do it because the same thing could happen to you. Because all this tragedy is always in the back of your mind. And I'm not saying, I mean, and it's funny because Cajuns, you know, in the book, fun-loving people and all this stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's, you wonder about that. And because, and a lot of this is inflected in the music, because people say, well, that's a happy song. What do you sing about? Well, my mama died, and you see, my father got tuberculosis, and, you know, I got the blues. And they say, what? You know, I don't want to know what those words mean, you know. And so, but that's some sort of it. It's like the blues is getting these things out. And that's, it's a little bit about their society, about the society we have now.
Mike, did the pacifist tradition carry through the American Civil War?
It did. It definitely did. Now, you got to understand, at that time, in the 1860s, when there were, obviously, some political leaders from that area. The name Mouton really stands out, because there were two kind of, there were known, there's always nicknames in a Cajun culture, and there were two big families, Moutons. One was Mouton Chapeau, which means a big hat. He had a big planter hat. And then there was another one, it was called Mouton Capuchon, which was a little hat. So these two different families. So the big hat was a general in the Civil War, and he was part of the legislator and all this kind of stuff. The people from, that was from the larger towns. The people from smaller towns, one such town is called Judice, which is outside in Lafayette Parish. There's a great accordion player, and that I can really talk about this. That's where I grew up, and I knew these people from this area. But anyway, it's a style of music. His name is Oktay Clark. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to his music. He's a great, great accordion player. Great accordion player. I mean, very proud, very stately man. Doesn't miss a beat. I mean, it's just, you know. And he said, I once did an interview with him and asked him, I said, why didn't you ever record? I mean, we finally did a recording with him in 1981 or something like that with Hector Dunia. I said, why didn't you ever record? And he says, well, 1929, there were too many mediocre people recording and went to their heads. I said, I didn't want to be like them. So you kept this music all these years. Okay. I mean, that's the kind of person. I mean, that's fortitude. You know, that's strong. I mean, that's strong. So in the Civil War, he tells a story about an uncle that there's both sides. The Acadians were like almost, there are some that fought both, the Confederates and the Northern. The Confederates would come to the house, and if you had a son between what the ages of 14 and 30, you were drafted. And if sometimes you weren't drafted, you were shot. So a lot of these people went to the marshes, which are now landfill, went to the marshes so they wouldn't find them. But on the other hand, you have a lot of heroes, like Mouton, this guy who got shot. I had a great, great, great grandfather, his name was Boudreau, and he was drafted. And he had to walk all the way back from Pennsylvania to Louisiana. And when he came back, he says, I'm not doing anything the rest of my life. And he said, no. So, I mean, you must have some characters. I mean, there's a lot of other ones. I mean, obviously, sharpshooters and people who were into the structure. But it was mostly, and I understand that they had Acadian legions, which were called Acadian legions, because it was predominantly in French. I mean, English was not used in this part. And even in New Orleans, they had a distinct society that was continuing to speak French and write in French. Both Creole, they have some black writers who wrote before the Civil War, and even after the Civil War, who wrote poetry in Creole, etc. You have composers. You'll come to me sometime. We'll get onto this, but you have black composers. There was one called Duchamp, who went to Paris.
Would you say some Creole or recite something so we can hear it?
All right. Let's say I'm going over there. In French, you say "J'y vais là-bas." In Cajun French, you say "J'allais là-bas." In Creole, you say "Mogon vini là-bas." Mo is je. Vini, come, go, it's the same thing. Mogon vini. Yeah, it's really easy to understand. Thank you. I'm glad the thing went off at that moment. In West Virginia here, this bluesy feeling that you started talking about came out in the Fiddletons in real slow, mournful airs, you know. And I wondered if there was a parallel in Cajun fiddling styles.
I don't know the songs you talked about, but I mean that idea of that kind of drones that comes from France. That's that whole Celtic harp string ballad kind of things that was known in here, just in France. In Louisiana, there's some quotes that have people in this a little bit later than this, 1810. 1812, people who'd come down the Mississippi, and that's what they would. They would come down the Mississippi in these flatboats, and they'd disassemble the flatboats and stay in New Orleans. Well, people who were, they were known as Virginia reels, right? That's the Virginia reels. Where they would hear people on the docks playing these reels and say, they do something. They bend these things or something. It wasn't a blues. They didn't know what blues was. But they would play the same song, but they'd say, this song is distinctly Louisiana. And that's all, we don't have any kind of recording. So there were, this bluesy feeling was, New Orleans and Louisiana, for that part, was developing their own feelings with this song. So I don't know where it started or how. Obviously a lot of, maybe this Creole stuff or, and they said people, you know, like I said, the black Creole culture had their own opera in the 18 teens. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about that. And they said, I mean, New Orleans, you had a white society, you had a black society, then you had this in-between society, which was like a mixture, which called mulats. A mulatto are different names anyway. And in that structure, octoroons is another name for that. And so you'd have these people would share, people would go to balls, dances together, and that. Then you have the white structure and the black structure, and you have this other one. Well, all this was going on, this strata of Louisiana, by the time of the Civil War, and after the Civil War, all of a sudden, everybody who was 132nd or some ridiculous thing like that was put into a block and became black or of color at that time, which was it was a mistake. So you had that whole great society in New Orleans that vanished. It was just there. But a lot of this is related with the music, because they said what gets back, the point I want to get back to is that there's quotes of people who were servants in New Orleans, servants to these Creole's big aristocratic families, who would go down the road and whistle La Travolta or something like that. It was amazing. They said the music in New Orleans was just one of the hot spots, which we'll get into, because I'm very prejudiced about Louisiana anyway.
One more question. I'm still confused about the Creoles. They're mixed, right? They're mixed.
All right.
But when you say the big aristocrats, was it white aristocrats with colored servants?
No.
Or were the aristocrats
colored,
too?
They were both. See how confusing it is?
Yeah, it is.
They were both. Anything you want to color. That's why I say, think of a tomato. You won't get any trouble. Creole. All right. Spanish first. Spanish families came down. They had land grants. They were also in the islands. And it was the French. These were people with color. Either, if you notice the Spanish skin, I'm kind of in between, you know, but olive, as my wife says. And she says, anyway, it's Spanish, sometimes they're dark Spanish. And sometimes they're dark French, it depends on where you come. Sometimes they're very light French with blue eyes and blonde hair. It's like they're not really Aryan. I mean, they're Aryan, but they're not like Germanic. So these people did call themselves Creole. That was their society. It was an early Creole society. These people, they were aristocrats. They had servants who called themselves Creole. These people either spoke Spanish or spoke French. Their servants spoke African. Now, I don't want to get this into it too much because this is not African Day, but the majority of people of the tribes, the area of the tribes, there was a lot of Cingalese, and a lot of the servants and the slaves in Louisiana come from this tribe, the Dahomey tribe, as far as the slave trade was done. The Dahomey tribe was known for its musical abilities and different things in their kingship. So anyway, so this, that kind of Dahomey language, you can't really put it, it's not black and white for fun. It was a lot of different languages. Came out of this thing, Spanish, French, Creole, African. Now we're just talking about language now. Became a language called Creole. Anyway, Creole. All right. The people, the servants, black servants, African servants, called themselves Creole. They cooked for these people. Their cooking ability was known as Creole cooking ability. Their own language was Creole. This is black. The language that these aristocrats spoke was not Creole. It was French or Spanish. And then a funny thing happened is that these people were the first to lose their French language. They began to speak English. They were acclimated into that society, whereas the Acadians continued to speak French. Also, don't forget, Creole is something homegrown. When someone was, they were called themselves French or Spanish and Creole. When they had a son or daughter born, he was of the Creole race, which meant both plus French plus French, white or Creole, black from this particular family. Now, if you had a mixture of these two, then you had the octoroon or mulatte. But they were also, which is even weirder and more confusing, they were called Creoles by themselves. So you see what I mean? It's
You did have free...
free men of color is what they call it. Yeah.
That were hot, that had this octoroon business and everything. And then it disappeared because of the Civil War.
After the Civil War, what they call the Jim Crow laws is that they put any man who had... In Louisiana, in fact, the law was upheld until about 2 years ago. If you have 1/32nd black blood, you are black. You have to put black on. Time out?
Time out.
Tomorrow! We'll get it.
Okay. I'm going to get you a mat.